All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza. We got JK3 and Derek here talking a little bit of Jags, Redskins, and we got a treat for you. We're not going to keep beating our heads up against a wall that's not going to move. Got a game coming up this Sunday. Hopefully we can pull out a win. We got to find out who really wants to play on this team and who really wants to not play on this team. So.
Yeah.
What are you thinking so far, man?
Man, it's tough this time of the year. You really find out, about the fans. You really find out about the team. And right now, you got to find out about who really wants to be here. Tough times are going. Really want to see what players we've got, what team we have to try to build a foundation. Because I think it's one thing that's clear is that next year we will be going in a different direction. But I hope that they're going, a different direction as far as quarterback goes. I hope that the general manager position is in a different direction. And I really hope they finally decide to get a team and get some leadership in here that can form a nucleus and push us forward. You know, I don't want to be one of those historically bad teams, you know, and I don't mean to be talking crap about anybody's team, but face it, the Lions, historically bad. The Browns, historically bad. You could mm-hmm. lump the Jets in there as a historically bad team as a recent, and you can lump your Jacksonville Jaguars that are in there also as a, you know, the last 10 years, I think, what, two winning seasons?
Yeah, don't forget about the Detroit Lions either. You know, they got to be.
Yeah.
Since Barry left town, that's 18 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be a historically, terrible. I don't want to be a historically bad team, man. So and you have those teams that are historically like the bottom feeders of the NFL. You got some teams that are mediocre that kind of fluctuate in between doing okay and on the verge of making the playoffs. And then you just got those teams that are just good that you can almost count in as shoo-ins, to go into the playoffs or to make a move. And I just don't want that to be the Jags, to be at the bottom feeders. But hey, hopefully, that's why those guys get paid to run football teams, and we get pizza at Brewers to talk about a podcast, right?
Yeah, another question comes to mind. It's also on the owner. The owner's pretty much the one that, he doesn't run the team, but it's his team. Look at the teams that play well, and look at the teams that historically play well and the ones that haven't. What do you think? Do you think that maybe he's a little bit too much business and not enough about winning? I know that's kind of a gray area, but if you look at some of the owners out there that are really poured their money and their hard work into the team. Yeah, he's done that from an economic standpoint for the Jags, because that's what it's ultimately about, money. But you can't have money if you don't have wins. So eventually the whole speech about we're going to do great things is going to wear off, which I'm pretty sure it's probably already worn off by now.
Yeah, there's a lot of economic development that he's striving to make, and a lot of things that's going on right now with Khan is proposing to try to make downtown a little bit better. So I think he does have the ability to do it as the owner. But, I mean, he hires football guys for a reason. He's got to get the right football guys in there to make the right football choices that'll lead to the right football moves on the field, which will translate to wins. Last year, it was a pretty magical season. We can all say it was a very magical season with the Jags. We put together a really good defense. We had an offense together that was able, to get through. And the thing that they didn't address, and I love Blake like the next guy does. I think he's great for the city. I think he's great for some of the things that he's doing in the community as well. But if he's not going to get wins on the football field, then you got to move on. And I think with them not bringing in any viable competition at the quarterback position last year is what led to this team's demise. That and not signing Allen Robinson and bringing in formidable receivers. You can only do so much as far as injuries. You can't. Injuries are the ultimate, like, I want to say, wait, like, variable. You can't control those. Like, you cannot control injuries. Yeah. People are going to get hurt. It's football. It's a contact sport. Your offensive lineman can get rolled up under one bad play, like Marquise Lee tearing an ACL. That happens. That happens in this game. What you can prevent from happening are the mistakes that lead to starting Cody Kessler at quarterback. The mistakes that lead to having, not bringing in, formidable talent. I mean, you just didn't bring in any talent. You brought in no talent at the quarterback position. Every other position group that we have has been stacked. I mean, you can't get mad at TJ. TJ's the leading receiver on this team. He's a running back. Corey Grant gets a pass because he got hurt. Fournette, he's hurt and he can't keep his mouth shut on the sideline or running across the field. That's all on him. The defense can only do so much. They've stayed relatively healthy, but people always want to try to put the blame on the defense. Oh, the defense didn't play good. The defense is out there 75% of the game.
It gets really frustrating. And again, we're not going to, talk about this for probably another 15 seconds. It is what it is. Hey, unfortunately, we're going to have a losing season. What does that mean? We'll have a decent draft position. Hopefully it's not the best draft position or else we really have a problem. Some people say, let's just tank and we'll figure it out. And no, you want to play for pride because you got to find out who wants to be here. Malik Jackson's made some comments about if they're going to have him on third string on the depth chart. I guess these are my last three games as the Jacksonville Jaguar. There's one. Right. That's one. So there'll be more. Barry Church looks like he's on his way out because of the emergence of Ronnie Harrison. There'll be other guys too. So they got to find some guys that want to play. They got to find some guys that can play. And we also need to get healthier. We need to think about what we can do to make sure we don't have such a monumental collapse. Injuries are variable. They are unpredictable. But you can get your guys healthy enough and ready to play. So training staff will take care of that. So it might be a clean, a whole clean house. Hopefully it starts at Caldwell and ends everywhere else. Marone, he seems like a good guy. People weren't too, happy about the decision to bring him on because of Gus Bradley, with him being on Gus's staff. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. We can't keep living in the past as fans. We got to forget about last year. Definitely got to forget about this year. And we just need to move on. So before we get to the our treat we got for you guys, Jalen Ramsey's comments about his contract. What's he talking about? What does he want
to do? He wants his money. And it's like those commercials, those J.G. Wentworth commercials. He wants his money. He wants it now. my boy wants to get paid. That's pretty much it, man. He alluded to saying that, hey, I'm going to leave it up to my agents and the front office to work it out. But 5 weeks ago, there was something talking about me getting traded. And if the front office wants to double down on that and make sure that it does not happen, I need all my chips with dip right now. that's basically what he's saying right now. And do I disagree with him? Absolutely not, because he is one play away from losing it all. We are one player away from, the defense really just being a collapse. As much as people can say that Jalen talks, he talks smack, which is what he does. But one thing that Jalen doesn't do, he's never late to meetings. He's not out. You don't see Jalen out in Jacksonville at all. Maybe to get something to eat. That's pretty much it. You don't see him at any nightclubs. You don't see him at any bars. You may see him at Top Golf for an event. I mean, I love Top Golf like the next guy does. My point is that he's the best player on the football team. And at this point right now, and the way that the NFL is going, you need to have a defense, because what's going on right now is these teams are putting up 40 and 50 points a game. You need to have somebody like him to completely eliminate a receiver. You need to have someone like AJ Boye on the other side to completely eliminate another receiver. So pay him.
Yeah. really quick, guys. So these are numbers from Over the Cap. We don't know how accurate they are. Usually they do a decent job of their accuracy. I suggest you guys, you know, check it out if you're ever wondering. Josh Norman is the highest paid corner in the National Football League. In my opinion, Josh Norman is a bum. He was a bum when he was at Carolina, and he still is a bum for the Redskins. We'll actually see him this week. Next is Tremaine Johnson.
Who?
The average fan might not know who that is. Exactly. Tremaine Johnson for the Jets. Then Xavier Rhodes for the Vikings. Xavier Rhodes is a good corner. Yeah, very good. Another Noel. And, you know, Noel's, we ain't doing too well, but, you know, we still got some bright spots in the NFL. Patrick Peterson, Cardinals, he's fourth. Kyle Fuller is fifth for the Bears. Desmond Trufant is sixth for the Falcons. And then we get to A.J. Boye, seventh for the Jags. I can tell you right now, and this isn't as a fan, a lot of people would say this, Jalen Ramsey's better than those six guys named.
Round out the top ten. So seven is Boye. Who's eight?
Okay. Boye. Stephon Gilmore is eight for the Patriots. Janoris Jenkins is nine for the Giants. And Malcolm Butler is 10 for the Titans.
Okay, so for the average fan, all guys you may have heard of, Jalen is better.
Except for that Tremaine Johnson.
Jalen is better than everyone on that list. Hands down.
No question, without a doubt.
He's a better corner than anyone on that list. And this is not me being biased as a Jaguars fan. That's just a fact. He's better than anyone on that team or anyone in those seven. I would put him up with Patrick Peterson just because of Patrick Peterson as him being a veteran. Of course, AJ, Janoris Jenkins is an awesome corner, you know, as well. Malcolm Butler, veteran, another good corner. You know, on that as well. But like you said, Josh Norman, I don't know. We see him this weekend, and maybe we haven't heard his name being called that much because the Redskins won because of the record is, you know, in the basement of the NFC East. And then as far as, you know, maybe sometimes you don't hear much from him because he's just shutting people down, you know? So maybe that's not a knock on Norman or anything, but Jalen, he's up there. He needs to be paid. He needs to be compensated. And, you know, this is just what he does. This is just what our player and what players are starting to do now, advocating for their talent, advocating for the reason why they need to be getting paid. And I agree with it. Most people will say, oh, he's the bad guy. What about the team? What about pay him. Everything else will fall into place when you lock up your good players.
And to give you an example, so apparently the rookie deals are 100% guaranteed, according to this website. Josh Norman, obviously, he's not in his rookie deal. He's at 48.7% of his contract is guaranteed. That's $36.5 million. Total value of the deal is $75. He probably won't get all of that. We're looking at an average of $15 million per year. Of that, $7.3 is guaranteed. So pretty much, you're looking at 4, 5, or 6 years, $80-85 million, and of that, 40 to 50 of it guaranteed. It's about what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That's high, man. Yeah, that's high.
But it's worth it though. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, the last 3 years he's been here, right? 3 years. Yeah, the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. This is his third season here with us. He's been the best, and he's been an all-pro corner. In his second year, he was an all-pro corner. He's probably going to be an all-pro corner this year and go to the Pro Bowl. I know he's going to go to the Pro Bowl this year because the Jags aren't going. He's going to participate in the Pro Bowl this year for sure. So, yeah, you got to pay him. The consistency's there. I haven't seen him getting completely torched on a play. You know what I mean? Like completely torched for like a long bomb touchdown, but I mean, hey, that's just me.
Anybody can get beat on any given Sunday, so it just depends. You know, some of these receivers, like, you know, Tyreek Hill did get him one time, but hey, Tyreek Hill is going to get everybody just because of how fast he can run and the fact that he can catch, and he's got a quarterback that can launch it a mile. at the end of the day, we hope he stays. Hopefully they can work something out. It's going to be tough. It's going to be grind. And while, you know, we're still a year or two away from that, starting to come up because we got to pay somebody $16.5 million that may or may not be on the team next year. But speaking of QBs, man, we got a little list for you today. Kind of thinking about something, you know, we're tired of talking about losing, so we're going to have a little fun with this. Obviously, we know we need a quarterback. We know it's a league that is driven by that position. And we could only dream that we could have as good a quarterback as Kansas City or Los Angeles Chargers or, I mean, any of the teams that are vying for a playoff spot right now. So we went and found the top 10 movie quarterbacks of all time. Now, these guys aren't in a particular position or in a particular list or number or order, but we're just going to go by one by one, and then we'll put a little poll up on Twitter and see what, you know, people think. If there was one that we missed, you know, we apologize. Please let us know. But we're just going to have a little fun, and we'll get back to some serious at another episode. But first quarterback that I'm thinking of is Paul Blake from the Texas State Armadillos. Necessary rough. I'd rather have him on my team than Blake Bortles, just being okay. Honest with you.
All right, so you're going with him. From this list that we have compiled, I am going with, you know, someone who has shown that he's got the heart, he's got the will, he's not just going to take something when a play is called. I'm going with Steeman Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday. I mean, he got into the play. He's changing the calls. He's got the running back. You know, LL Cool J saying, you know, you're taking away the plays that I'm designing, and he's out there winning. Hey, Steeman Willie Beeman gets it done.
Man, all right. So, second one on my list, this guy here. Let me tell you, I didn't see him play in a game, but his highlight tape was off the chain. Okay, it was great. For those of y'all that saw or have seen Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, man, we'll go with Uncle Rico.
Rico, he can throw a football over a mountain. Uncle Rico, that's a good one, man. Uncle Rico would probably be. I was just thinking about it right now. Uncle Rico would probably be the person that we left off. I would rather take between Uncle Rico and him was Brucey from the Longest Yard, but. Staying with the Longest Yard, Paul Crewe. What was Burt Reynolds' name in the Longest Yard? Was it Paul Crewe? Adam Sandler, Paul Crewe. Some of our listeners that, you know, maybe a Burt Reynolds fan, RIP. I'm going with Adam Sandler, you know, on this one. He's got the stones to really carry it in. So yeah, I'm going with him. Something that we need out of a quarterback here.
Man, that's a good pick. Man, Michael Irvin pretty much beat him up on that basketball court, and he still was able to get it done. You know, Chris Rock told him, "Don't rile the brothers," and he still went out there and did it. Hey, they played well. So, next guy. Now this one here is kind of a. It was a toss-up because both of them, you know, played well. They were competing for the same position. One came in kind of late, but we're going to go with the second one. He led them to the state championship, I think, in Virginia in like 1970. That's Ronnie Sunshine Bass. Remember the Sunshine. Titans. Lefty. He could run the option. He could throw it. He had soul power, man. So he's it, man. Ronnie Sunshine Bass.
Sunshine. All right, so you're going to go with Sunshine. All right, I get you, the California kid from Remember the Titans. For me, I am going to go ahead with probably the most underrated QB on this list, and that's the Mox. Going to go with Mox. Has got a cannon. Mox threw it for like 40 yards. From the bench. So I'm going with Moxon for sure.
Now, if you're going to go with Moxon, I got to go with Lance Harbor, man. I mean, they had a wooden like sign in
but
the front yard.
But they replaced it with, when Mox came in. Yeah. So the sign is removable. It's able to be planted. But I'm telling you, Mox has got it going. You know, he ran the oop-de-oop with to Billy Bob. And he had Tweeter on the halfback reverse. So, yeah, I'm going with Mox for sure.
Oh, man. So if you got Mox, I got Lance Harbor. So it's your turn. Who do we have next? Yeah, like I said, this is no particular order, but we're just thinking of guys, movie quarterbacks that we wish we had that could lead us to victory instead of Bortles and Kessler.
There's a lot of rumblings that we're probably going to sign Joe Flacco, or what is it? Joe Flacco? Did I say it right? I can never say it. Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's Flacco or Flacco, but I'm going to go with a distant cousin of Joe and go Shane Falco with the replacement. So I'm going to go Shane Falco. It doesn't get any, we're going deep into our movie fantasy draft right now. So yeah, Shane Falco.
Oh man, if he only had guards, if Bortles had guards like he did, that would basically shoot up a car for him, we'd be winning every game. If he had a sumo wrestler for the tackle,
get your spot, Vern.
Oh man, so this next one, man, he overcame a lot, and I think Blake should really sit down and talk to this guy because he really overcame a lot and still played well and still was able to lead his team to a bowl game. Mm. I'm talking about Joe Kane, the program. For some young guys, it's a movie from 93, 94. Definitely recommend it. It's a good football movie. It's kind of fun. It's kind of comedic too, but
it gets
got some
dark,
serious
really.
Side to it. But
it gets dark really quick. Like when Joe Kane's in the shower, then he goes on his like that motorcycle ride into like the desert and finds himself and comes back and he's just some kind of crazy quarterback. I hate to spoil the movie for anybody that hasn't seen it. Sorry, I just gave it away.
Well, he had the girl in the back of the motorcycle and she thought he was crazy or something like that.
So in that movie, in the program, how were they able to actually have a made-up college playing real colleges? Because they played Boston College. I think they played Florida State.
Well, no. So apparently, I don't know this to be true. Somebody might be able to tell me, but the movie was loosely written on the early 90s Florida State teams that were apparently corrupted with not so great, you know, conduct amongst the team. That's Wikipedia stuff.
Sorry, man. It's Yingling's not going down too good right now.
Shut up. Whatever. But that's what I've read. I don't think that's true. Maybe someone just said, the uniforms kind of match, so they're talking about FSU, da-da-da. But that's just, you know, Wikipedia stuff. You know, you could donate a quarter to Wikipedia and write anything about anybody.
That is true. I think as far as I'm concerned, the last one that I can recollect some of the film that I've seen, on this guy, and it's early film too. So I'm talking probably like 94, 93 on this guy, but I'm going to go with Junior Floyd from the Little Giants.
Man. He could throw a roll of Charmin into a grocery cart like tomorrow.
He had the ice box, blocking for him. So yeah, I'm going with Junior for sure.
Oh man, so that is that rounded out, or do we got one more? No, I think we got one more. One more. Did we mention Jerry Rez Harris from Remember the Titans? Yeah, the option quarterback. So he couldn't really throw it. We never really saw him throw it. But man, he went on a what was it? 38 or 32 blasts mm-hmm. with a backside George Rivers.
We haven't seen, like, we haven't seen Lamar Jackson throw the ball yet. So, I mean, there may be hope for old Rev.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, man, hope the risk gets better. But, hey, but guys, those were our 10 top movie quarterbacks. I think it was 10, maybe even a little bit more, maybe 12. I don't know. But that we wish we had on a team that could lead us to a W instead of the ones that we do have. If you think of any more that are, you know, that we may have missed, shoot us a line on Twitter. Let us know. But, you know, try to have a little fun. You know, we know it's a tough season, and hopefully that turns around, you know, next year. We got 3 more games to go, and then we're going to have a long offseason. I'm sure a lot of Jag fans will be looking forward to the draft to see what we do now that we actually, you know, Tom Coughlin, hopefully they get a new GM. I'm over Dave Caldwell. I know a lot of Jags fans out there are over him too. So
yeah, we'll see exactly, you know, what goes on. And again, guys, you know, this is for fun. Today is Thursday, so we're pretty sure you guys have heard everything that's been happening, you know, on the local outlets and pretty much read everything. You know, we don't want to be another podcast just beating down the Jags. You know, of course, we still love them, and we hope to see a lot of y'all at the game on Sunday too. You know, even though it not really in our favor. You're going to see probably the bottom of the barrel as far as quarterbacks go in the league, with Josh Johnson starting against us for the Skins, and then, you know, the Cody Kessler starting for the Jags. You know, this is probably the best time of the year to come out. Last one. You know, hopefully we can get a W, you know, in inside of the bank. And if you are listening, you know, on iTunes or any other outlet, you know, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating. We really do appreciate it. We really do appreciate some of the interaction that we've got on Twitter. Shout out to Kevin Brown. You know, he's usually in the mentions with us and probably tagging us in some really good stuff. So we really do appreciate that. And shout out to probably most consistent listener out in Hawaii, stationed in the military. I don't know what he does out there. He runs a summer camp, I think, on a submarine. But shout out to James Austin, man, for listening to us. Really do appreciate you guys. And we'll see you next week.